or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre America. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're having a good day. It's hump day. Let's get her done. They're all going crazy around here. The KCO opens this weekend at the Elk City Golf and Country Club here in Elk City. So it's going to be a busy week around here. Let's check out some temperatures around the listening area. It looks like there's a three-way tie for hot spot in the city, in the state right now. Looks like Buffalo, Freedom, and Cherokee, you're all tied at 90 degrees. Down here in southwestern Oklahoma, 89 at Hollis, 89 at Hobart, 84 at Cheyenne, the home of the secret weapon. Out here in the Texas Panhandle, 85 degrees at Lipscomb, 88 at Dozer, 89 at Wallington, Childress, you're 89. Odell, south of the Red River Bridge down there, south of Altus is 88. Got a really special guest coming on about halfway through the show, Jonathan Kamick, Professor Jonathan Kamick, if I say that right. He is a entomologist and plant guy from pathologist, I guess you can call him, from Oklahoma State. And we're going to be touching a little bit on Asian tick today. So that's coming up about 12:30 or so. And if my voice lasts, sorry about that. Let's see here. Oh, have I ever told you guys how much I hate worms? So you guys been hearing my deal on the cornier worm and the army worm and my tomatoes. And it's bad. It's probably one in every three tomatoes right now. So hopefully I do have some traps come in today so I can start trapping some moths. So I don't know when to spray them, because it just ain't going to do no good to spray them right now because they're already in the worms. They're even in my little Juliettes. We found one here in the office a while ago. Little suckers. Well, this morning I was talking to a friend of mine standing out in the peanut field getting ready to move my side row. And I looked down there, and I'd seen one in there last week, but that was the only one I seen. And I rehomed it. And then I was standing there talking to him this morning, and I looked down there, and there's one crawling around. Well, I didn't think much about it, and I moved over the to the other side of the wheel move, and there's another one, and then there's another. There's six of them. So I sent a picture to Ashley Ferris at OSU, because it kind of looks like the tomato worm, but not as big, and it's just close to it. Well, it ended up being the horn-tailed butterfly worm. And I know you guys have seen the moths, because they look almost like a hummingbird. And that's what they fly around, and you think they're a hummingbird until you swat one, and it's not a hummingbird. It's a moth. And I've seen millions of them on locations when I was back in the old wool field days flying around the light plants. So they're all over the peanut field. I'm like, what? And she called me up. She said, what do you got going on out there? She said, the worms you got in your peanuts should be in your high tunnel, and the ones you got in your high tunnel should be in your peanuts. I said, I don't know. It's just me. There's always something cool going on around my operation. So, just a piece of advice, keep a sharp lookout on your, crops. And expect the opposite of what you think. I'm proof of it. So, also, she wanted to let me know, and I'm going to let everybody know, if anybody's got any plans of planting a second crop, corn crop this coming up, if you're not already planting it or coming up first week of July, check with your agronomist or with your OSU extension agent in your county, because they have some confirmed reports of the leaf hopper in the corn, in the state. And say it was in the corn, but it's got to be in there. So I know I was talking to mine this morning, and you know, the best you can do if you've already planted your corn for late season corn is, you know, at the fourth leaf, spray it, and at the eighth leaf, spray it, and you should keep it under control. They have said that, you know, the leaf hopper in early corn, it's happened last year and the year before, but they don't do near as much damage. What was he telling me this morning, a friend of mine? Oh, like 5-10% damage. Now, late season corn, that's a whole different ballgame. It can get up to half of it or even more. So I'm just going to pass that along to you guys for some information. With all this rain, all this grass, all these weeds, we just got critters coming in. Don't forget about the grasshoppers. Them suckers are thick and they're big. So anyway, check with your local co-op or your agronomist to see what you need to do to rehome all these insects. So go from there. Let's see what happened overnight in a big old world of agriculture, because I checked the board right before we started a while ago, and the grains it stinks. That's all I can say. Soybean and corn futures were lower in overnight trading on expectations for favorable growing conditions in the U.S. Corn Belt. Precipitation fell this week in parts of central Minnesota, southern and eastern Iowa, southern Wisconsin, said Don Kinley, an agriculture meteorologist for Maxar. Rainfall is forecast in the northern Midwest through Thursday, central and eastern areas through Friday, and south central and northwestern areas in the weekend, into the weekend, the forecaster said. I don't want to get anybody's hopes up, but I was looking at next week's forecast. It looks pretty good for western Oklahoma and the eastern Texas panhandle if it happens. It's just a forecast. It's a prediction, but it looks pretty wet. Let's get it. I'll take it. Rain in the northern areas will further improve moisture, but heat and dryness in the south areas are resulting in a little bit of stress, he said. Limited precipitation and hot weather this week will reduce moisture for soybeans and corn in the Delta. About 66% of the U.S. soybeans were in good or excellent condition, according to the USDA. Wheat futures dropped overnight as rain will likely boost soil moisture levels in South Dakota and southern Minnesota, where soft red winter varieties are growing. So why do they pick on the hard red winter prices, wheat prices? Soybean futures for November delivery lost 4¾ pennies to 10.32¼ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was down $1.40 to $2.93.90 a short ton. And soy oil fell 0.1 cent to 52.51 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery dropped 3.5 cents to 4.25¼ a bushel. Wheat futures for September delivery in Chicago was down 1½ cents to 5.50½ a bushel, while Kansas City futures lost 2.5 cents to 5.47¼ a bushel. According to Successful Farming's news this morning, Brazil and China are working on an agreement in which the South American country would potentially supply China with tailor-made soybeans, according to an attaché report from the USDA's office in Brazil. The increased supply of soybeans from Brazil could directly challenge U.S. exports. The recent proposed sustainability initiative between Brazil and China, popularly, I guess it's known, this contract's known as Soy China, aims to develop a dedicated soybean supply chain cultivated in accordance with sustainability and quality standards defined by China. About 71% of China's soybean imports last year actually came from Brazil. Should Brazil produce a soybean variety specifically tailored to Chinese standards, this share would likely increase, leading to a reduction in soybean imports by China from other major suppliers, including the United States. Currently, right now, China gets it, Argentina, Canada, and the U.S., and said U.S. expected about $12.8 billion worth of soybeans to China that's what they did last year. Sorry. This guy who wrote this article must went to the same class I did. That's all I can tell you. Kind of messed up. Anyway, let's see here. What's going on weather-wise in our farm belt? Heavy rain is forecast for most of central Iowa, Illinois. Flash flooding. Funnel clouds may make an appearance in the afternoon. That's one way of putting it. Temperatures in the region will jump around 100 degrees Fahrenheit. So they're going to have heavy rain and 100 degrees. All right. The day is the Taylor Ranch Happy Hour. Let's take a break. When we come back, I'll get you up to date on what the board's doing right now. And I have the Beaver Stockyards, Beaver County Stockyards report. And I got some crazy things to tell you what happened up there yesterday, especially on some little bitty things. We'll be right back after this.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, June 23rd. 861 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 428 brought 435. 18 at 490 brought 392.50. 8 at 586 brought 335. 9 at 612 brought 344. 12 at 636 brought 328. 31 at 885 brought 282. 8 at 922 brought 284. 10 head of heifers at 475 brought 370. 13 at 715 brought 296. 23 at 751 brought 289. 9 at 776 brought 285. 39 at 784 brought 280. 16 at 825 brought 278. Butcher cows were 119 to 175. Butcher bulls brought 159 to 207. Bred cows 2,075 to 3,025. Pairs brought 3,375 to 3,800. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
When you're out working in the shop and the garage this summer, stay comfortable with a Portacool Apex cooler. Napa Auto and Truck Parts in Elk City, Weatherford, and Hinton has compact spot coolers for the garage. They've also got high-powered units that cool up to 6,500 square feet. Each unit blasts cool air up to 60 feet and connects to your phone with the CoolSync app for remote control. They're quiet, efficient, and tough with a lifetime warranty on molded housings. Swing by your local Napa and get your Portacool Apex cooler and stay comfortable while you work this summer.
Hay wrap is what people use in their balers, the farmers, when they want to, you know, baling up hay. It wraps it up, is better than twine. So it's like one consistency, holds everything together, lasts longer, easier to cut off. Well, we started selling it because we got asked for it, because nowhere around here to really buy it, the good kind of net wrap that we have. So we found a vendor that's good price, and now we carry it. We've got it. Camrock is right south of Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City, Oklahoma.
Mark your calendar. July 15th, XIT Auctions will be selling 200 acres of good Ouachita County grass just north of Sentinel, Oklahoma. There's an 80-acre track and a 120-acre track, both located on Highway 44. For more information, call me, Aubrey Latham, 393-4440, or check the details out at xitauctions.com. Also selling 2 bank-owned homes, same day, same place. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Canadian, Texas. Here is your ag update. Ag weather update out there. 87 degrees, heat index at 91. Humidity's 53, dew point 68. The winds are out of the south at 17 with wind gust up to 28 right now. Month-to-date precipitation, 3.69 inches of rain. I wonder if that's a record for out there so far. 8-inch soil temperature, 80 degrees. My sister, Dr. Helen Emmett, lives up in Kansas City. She writes children's books, and she has her grandkids, my little nephew, great nephews and nieces help her with the artwork and stuff. And she just sent me a picture of one of her new book coming out. It's called Meatball and Spaghetti. So my question to her was, does it say anything about my hamburger meat that she buys from me? And she said, seriously, it should. It does have the recipe in it. She said, I can give out copies of these books with my sales. Not if it doesn't have me in the book. No, not going to do any good. I love her, but she, she's done quite a book. Matter of fact, I think a couple of her books are in the Elk City Library down here that she's wrote. She graduated from Elk City High School in 1972. So, got that going on. I forgot about one of my adventures. I was a busy person this morning. I was helping out one of my neighbors with some spraying of some grass burrs. And got my irrigation moved and got this done, that done. And I took the back way to 152. And you guys heard me talk about Sugar Daddy and his housewife Bells. Dude, I don't know if you're listening or not, because I knew you wouldn't answer me this morning, but you need to check out the level or something on your housewife Baylor, because those are pretty crooked bells I seen out there this morning. They're going to be hard to stack on the truck. So maybe you were sleepy, or maybe you weren't paying attention to what the monitor was saying, but pretty lopsided bells out there, Sugar Daddy. You need to fix that stuff up. So, all right, let's see what the grain market's doing right now, because I need to cut this segment down early so I can get a hold of Professor Jonathan. Come on, update. There we go. It's working. All right, there we go. Currently right now, July corn's 410, down 5 3/4. September's 405, down 6 1/2. Soybeans for July, 1030, down 16 1/4. August is 1033, down 16 3/4. Soybean meal, July, 276.40, down 410. And wheat. Hard red winter wheat type. July, 524, down 10 1/4. September, 539, down 10. That don't look too good. Energy. Crude oil out of West Texas. August, 65.68, up $1.31. Natural gas is down a little bit for July at 349. NASDAQ is trading in the green. The other two, Dow and S&P, are slightly in the red. Not terrible. Let's see what the cattle's doing. Live cattle, June, 221.82, up 22. August is 209.27, down 27. October is 206.55, down 40. Feeders for August, 302.72, up 47. September is 302.75, up 30. October is 390, up 25. All right. Let's head up into the panhandle to the Beaver County stockyards. 3,751 head were sold yesterday. Heifers, bred heifers, there was just three of them. They averaged about $1,900 a piece. Bulls, 28 of them. Cotton King, he should have been up there buying bulls yesterday if he's wanting some cheap herd bulls, because they had 28 of them. Average weight, 1513. Average price, 181.16. $27.41.68 was the average price. Bull calves, 88 of them. $4.90 was average weight. Average price, $372.42. $18.24 a head. Cows, they had quite a few cows up there yesterday. Let's see here. There they are. 575 of them to be exact. The average price on them was $21.98.22 a head. $176.33. per hundred weight. Heifer calves, here we go. 278 head, 466 was average weight. 360, 86, $1,680 per head. And hang on here a second. I wanted to discuss some of this with you. So they had some 315 weights up there yesterday. Heifers brought 523 a pound, 1650. That's crazy. All right, yearling heifers, 744 of them, 671 average weight, average price $311.22, $2,087.96 was the average per head. Let's see what top seller was. They had 8 head weighing 1,003 pounds, brought $2,507.81 per head. Okay, here, pairs. They had 81 pairs, brought $3,500 average is what it was. Top seller was 6 of them. They had some black pairs, $46.50 per pair. Must have been some dandies. Steer calves, $353, average weight, $505, average price, $395.56, $1,995.72. And a bunch of them caught my attention, but this one stands out. Thanks to my man from Shattuck, my creeper, my undercover agent. 4 head weighing 336, brought $5.42 per pound, $18.22 for a 336 pound steer calf. Wow. All right, yearlings. Steer yearlings, there was 1,523 of them. Average weight, 785. 317.53, brought $2,492.56 per head. How about that? Let's see what the big boys were bringing. They had 11 to weight, 1,376. Brought $3,337. And then they had, what was these? I've seen some that weighed 9. Yeah, here we go. There was 47 head of mixed steers, weighed 961, brought $301.75 a head, $2,901.29 a head. Get some of that. So that was a report from Beaver County Stockyards yesterday up in Beaver, Oklahoma. All right. Let's take a Taylor Ranch happy hour break, and we'll be right back after this.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Get ready, Western Oklahoma. The Wild Plum Jam is back and louder than ever. Coming to Sarah on Saturday, July 19th, it's a Red Dirt Revival you won't want to miss. Live on stage, Cody Canada and the Departed. Stoney LaRue,
it's Oklahoma Breakdown, you sure do got you crying.
And Western Oklahoma's own Tyler Wilhelm.
Yes, I'm proud of who I am.
All jamming on Route 66 in Sayre. One night, one stage, and a whole lot of red dirt music magic under the Oklahoma sky.
Hey, you're not a never-tweener.
Lock in your spot now. Tickets will go fast. Get yours today at KECOFM.com. That's KECOFM.com. The 2025 Wild Plum Jam in Sayre, Oklahoma, powered by KECO. Be there.
Hey, farmers. It's Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. It's time to plant summer cover crops. We carry the best quality cover crop seeds available. If you need ag chemicals, we can ship bigger orders straight from the warehouse to your farm with unbeatable prices. And as always, we're an authorized livestock nutrition center dealer. Call us, visit us on South Randall in Elk City, and follow us on Facebook. SEI Agritech, your partner in productivity.
I've had several clients when we're sitting in a closing room, we're signing the final pieces of paper, and we slide the keys across the desk and tell them, congratulations, you're a homeowner, and they're just elated. They're thrilled. They finally realize that their dream came true. They were actually able to own a home, and the children are in there with them. And they're like, I get to go get my new room. It's for the whole family to enjoy. They're very excited to own a home. I'm Joe Shepard, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Farming is no game, but when you're at the game and have the ability to control your irrigation in the field, it's a huge game changer. Valley Irrigation is where farming meets in-zone efficiency. With AgSense remote technology, farmers become MVPs of their fields. Real-time play-by-play control means you're always ahead of the game. Score big with irrigation technology from Valley. It's technology that improves your life and lets you beat the game and be in the game. Visit Knutson Irrigation to become the MVP of your field. Online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. They have your infield coverage and your back.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day, and you flipped the switch on that machine, and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work, but yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here's your northwestern Oklahoma ag weather update. In a big town of Beaver, Oklahoma, out in Beaver County. Right now, it's 88 degrees, feels like it's 90. Dew point 66, humidity is 48. The winds are out of south, southwest at 20. 2.14 inches of rainfall in the last 10 days, according to the Oklahoma Mesonet. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 80 degrees. Sunset at 9:05, 91 today. I think you're going to get there. Tonight, 68, 20% chance of thunderstorms. And tomorrow, 91 for a high and a 20% slight chance of thunderstorms also tomorrow. I got to send out an apology, and it really hurts me to do this. But I want to apologize to Sugar Daddy, a.k.a. Brian Silt. I was accusing him of making lopsided bells on the road today. Come find out it was his grandson, Brady, that was doing the bailing. So, Brady, you're in trouble with me, buddy. So, all right. Well, on the phone with me right now is Professor Jonathan Kamak. And did I say that right? Kamak?
Kamak, but close enough.
Kamak. Okay, all right. We got it. I got it now. he is the professor, assistant professor in the Department of Entomology and Plant Pathology at OSU, and thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Well, I already had a conversation with your wife this morning about horntail caterpillar worms, and so she's I think she's wanting to come out here and see what I got going on. Jonathan, this first time on the show, tell everybody who you are and how you got to Stillwater.
Sure, yeah, so I am a Texan, you know, don't hold that against me, anybody.
But we won't.
We moved to Oklahoma State in the Stillwater area about a year and a half ago now from College Station, Texas. So both my wife, Dr. Ashley Ferris, and I were employed there with the university. She was with the university, and I was with the Extension Service. You know, we both ended up here in positions that allow us to, you know, take on an extension role and help out people with their pest problems.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not saying it because I'm on air with you and she's your wife. She's really good at what she does out here. And
she is, yep.
Yeah, and the people really enjoy having her at their farms or wherever and looking at stuff. And there's a lot going on in Oklahoma this year with all the rains, and we got grass growing, we got weeds growing, and where there's those combination, there's a lot of pests going on. So what all do you study or teach or what do you study or investigate, let me rephrase that, in your position in the extension office?
Yeah, sure. So my technical title is Assistant Professor and State Extension Specialist for Livestock Entomology and Parasitology. So a lot of words to really just say that any livestock animal that we've got in the state, whether we're talking about cows or horses or chickens or pigs or goats, any sort of external pest or parasite of those animals, whether we're talking flies or ticks. Fleas, in some cases, those are the organisms that I work with, and trying to come up with ways that we can better manage them. But also, I in a past life have worked in how we can use insects to help manage waste streams. So if we think about manure that animals are generating, or other byproducts, what can we do to kind of harness the natural power and behavior of some of these insects that in some situations might be pests, but if we can transform that behavior into something that eats manure for the good, to be able to get rid of manure, how we can do that.
Right. So how long have you been a professor in your studies at A&M and OSU? You've just been at those two schools, right? No, wait.
Yeah, so I finished my PhD in 2014, but I took, a little bit of a roundabout way to get to where I'm at now in this position here at OSU. A doctor for a little over a decade, but just in this academic role for about a year and a half now.
Okay. What's one of the most unique stories you got there to talk about that you've actually studied or investigated?
Here or just in general?
In general.
Okay.
We like stories.
I had a really good opportunity when I was a postdoc at Texas A&M to do a good bit of traveling and studying. Basically, the way I've explained it before is if it's rotting and smells bad and flies and bacteria are associated with it, I've studied it. And that took me to some really fun places, whether we were working in swine production in Hawaii, looking at how we can use microbes to manage smells associated with swine manure, or some projects in Southeast Alaska where we were studying salmon runs. So, every summer, salmon return to the stream that they were born in so that they can lay their eggs. And you've got thousands, if not millions, of fish that are swimming from that saltwater environment in the ocean to that freshwater environment upstream, and they die along the way. And there's this huge influx of carrion in those environments, and there's a lot of nutrients that come along with it. So got to do some really cool work. But along with that study, or those number of studies we were doing there in Alaska, we were interested in different ways that we might be able to disrupt how insects are finding those dead fish. And so myself and three other colleagues were sitting in a circle in this field with pieces of salmon placed around us that we had these different treatments on, and we're watching the flies land so that we can count them. And then we got to thinking, there is clear evidence of grizzly bear activity in this.
I was wondering. I was like, you guys, were you watching the salmon or watching your back?
Yeah. Luckily, we sat with our backs to each other, so we were looking out. But yeah, we had this great, every day we had this, good laugh about, we could have been eaten by a grizzly bear today. And
yeah, because you wouldn't have been the first ones. So I bet that was pretty cool. I've always wanted to go up there and observe the salmon run. And, I see YouTube videos about it and this and that, but I always thought it'd be pretty cool to go up there and watch that.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. But so what, since you've been at Stillwater, what projects you've been working on?
Yeah, a lot of that's been dictated by, kind of the new events and things that are happening. So, I deal a lot with kind of managing horn flies and cattle and dealing with ticks and things like that, which, is what we're going to talk about a little bit later today. But really it's just been kind of getting a lay of the land, so to speak, figuring out what the different pest problems are in different areas of the state. And then another project that not many people know about yet that we just started up this past spring has been on trying to identify and characterize the blister beetle populations across the state. You know, so when we think about blister beetles, we're usually concerned about them from an alfalfa, hay, and a horse standpoint. But you know, they really kind of impact any flowering plant, whether that's a weed growing in your pasture or some flowers that somebody's got in a pot on their back porch. And so, you know, really trying to figure out what species we have and when they're active. That way, we can do a better job kind of alerting people as to when they might be a problem, either for homeowners or livestock producers or even hay producers.
Okay, I've seen the blister beetle that one over there on Joey and Kelly's pivot there, and I don't know, I got a video on it 6 or 7 years ago. Probably covered 3 acres of alfalfa. And Joey and Kelly had just pulled up on the Ranger, and I was like trying to signal them, don't get out, don't stop, you know. And then they figured out what, because I was pointing at the ground. And then when they seen it, boy, that Ranger went into like overdrive mode to get out of there. So do they migrate, or do they stay in the same area and just recycle?
So it's a little bit of both. We've probably got some seasonal movement of them, but they the adults, you know, are the ones that we most often come into contact with, because they feed on flowers, you know, and whether that flower is some pigweed or something you've got planted that you want to look at, they're really feeding on those flowers. But in their larval form, they feed on grasshopper eggs. So, you know, what we would typically think in a pasture type of situation where you've got a big grasshopper problem, you're probably going to be more prone to have a blister beetle problem, you know, that following year, just because of how the biology of those two groups line up. And, you know, you're right. We typically do see them in big groups, kind of, you know, clustered on big bunches of weeds or, you know, flowering plants, whether that's alfalfa or soybeans or something. And, they're kind of interesting because they do occur in those very, very large groups. But that's what's, fascinating from the standpoint of an entomologist that wants to study them. But, you know, what's problematic about them from the standpoint of, the alfalfa producer or the animals that might be foraging in that area.
Right. So do you need any help from producers, whether cattlemen or farmers, if they catch a big group of them? Do you need any help from them? Do you need them to catch some and send them to you, or pictures or videos?
Not at the moment. That's kind of the future plan for this project. So right now what we're doing is we have the Casey Emerson Entomology Museum here at OSU, and we've got about 100 years or so worth of collection of insects collected in that repository. And so what we're doing is we're going through that from this kind of historical perspective and digitizing all of that information so that we can look at a species and see what the distribution of it is in the state, or kind of seasonal activity. So we will eventually make it to that point where we'll be seeking input from, others around the state. But right now we're starting with kind of small, if you will, with these preserved museum specimens.
All right. Well, let's talk about the Asian tick. Tell everybody what you know so far.
Yeah. So on the news, last summer, I guess it would have been probably mid-August or so, we had our first report of the Asian longhorn tick being found in Oklahoma. And we kind of saw this peak in activity, from a news standpoint and information going out about it. And then it kind of slowed and died down, if you will, for a few months. Now, about a month or so ago, there was an article that came out in the OSU Cowboy Journal, which is a magazine that the Ferguson College of Agriculture puts together. And that story was focused on kind of the importance of Asian longhorn ticks and what impact they might have on livestock in the state. And since that time, there has been all sorts of media going around. We've had interviews on News 9, KFOR. There's even been a SunUp segment. So there's been a lot of information in the news that your listeners might have heard or been exposed to. So it's good timing to be on the show and talk about this.
Okay.
So as its name suggests, the Asian longhorn tick is not native to the United States. It's native to Southeast Asia, so China, Korea, Japan, Russia, and has been moved around the world quite a bit through movement of people, movement of animals. It was introduced into New Zealand and Australia about 100, 125 years or so ago. And then sometime about 15 years ago, it was introduced to the northeastern part of the United States. And since that time, it has been slowly spreading south and west across the United States. And as of the middle of last summer, Oklahoma became the 21st state to now have confirmed records of Asian longhorn tick. Now, that was in the northeast corner of the state in Craig County and Mays County, so, a pretty good distance away from, the listeners of today's show.
Yep. And if I understood you right, when we've talked earlier and what you've been saying here so far is, it's not to say it won't ever come out here to Western Oklahoma or Texas Panhandle, but they love, they're a subtropical tick, correct?
Yes. So there was some work done, I guess about 6 or 7 years or so ago now at this point, from some researchers that do kind of environmental modeling work, where they look at things like rainfall and soil conditions and temperature fluctuations and the humidity throughout the year, and they're able to take that information from kind of a native range of a species like this one and then apply it to the new areas that they've been found in, in our case, the United States, and are basically able to develop a heat map, if you will, of areas that are more or less likely to support populations of this pest species. And luckily for most of the state of Oklahoma, it is in the kind of unsuitable habitat. So really, anything in the state that is basically west of I-35 is likely going to be too dry to support sustained populations of longhorn ticks. So for most of the listeners today, that's great news. But for the eastern part of the state, particularly that northeastern corner or anywhere kind of on the border with Arkansas, that's really kind of our target area where we've got enough vegetation and enough moisture and the right kind of humidity requirements to be able to really sustain their populations.
Right. What you've been finding so far, like in northeastern Oklahoma, what's the treatment for it?
Yes, yeah, so it really kind of comes down to this kind of integrated pest management approach, or really doing everything we can. There's not just kind of one silver bullet, and this tick is a three-host tick, so it's similar to our Lone Star tick in terms of how it develops. But what that means is that over the course of its life, it needs to feed on three different host animals. Usually with three host ticks, we see that host animal get a little bit bigger with each successive life stage. So larval ticks might feed on something small like a rodent. They'll drop off, digest that blood meal, and then molt to that next stage, that nymphal stage, and they'll look for a little bit bigger host, maybe a raccoon or a dog or something. Feed for 3 to 4 days, drop off, digest, molt, and then the adult is going to look for a host that's a little bit bigger, whether that's a white-tailed deer, also maybe a dog or a cow or a horse or something, and then they're going to take that blood meal. One of the interesting things about longhorn ticks is that we can see all three of those life stages, the larvae, nymphs, and adults, present on the same species of animal. So they could all be found feeding on cattle or even a single cow.
Right.
A little bit different in terms of what we're used to dealing with. And so we can really think about controlling them by how they spend their life. So these three host ticks are spending about 90% of their life off of that host animal that they have fed on. So they're going to be kind of resting down in leaf litter, kind of in wooded areas in that high humidity environment so that they can stay protected until through that molt until they need to find that next blood meal. that's one of the reasons why the western part of the state isn't likely to have too many problems with them, just because, you know, it doesn't have that really thick wooded type of environment that we see over on the eastern part of the state. You know, if we were talking about managing this and the northeastern part of the state, we would think about things like don't allow cattle access to thick wooded areas, right? You know, we want to make sure that we provide them some shade, but a couple of trees out in the middle of a pasture from a tick standpoint is going to be a lot better for the cattle than allowing them to move freely into some thick wooded area. So if we can keep them out of those heavy wooded environments, that's going to be great for reducing the tick load on those cattle. You can clear underbrush or tall grass, you know, just by, simple, brush hogging or mowing or something. That's going to have a huge impact on tick populations as well. So, you know, anything we can do to kind of get rid of that environment that they're spending 90% of their life in is great.
I gotcha.
And we also know that, products that are, labeled generally for use against ticks are also effective against Asian longhorn ticks.
Okay. Well, that was a good thing you said, that we don't have to concern ourselves. We got enough concerns out here in western Oklahoma right now with all these worms on my place.
Yeah.
And so, but the ear ticks that are in cattle right now, I noticed one in a calf yesterday on my way to town yesterday. And we got enough going on. We got the flies. What's your best remedy for the horn fly?
Yeah, horn flies, also kind of comes down to that integrated pest management approach, right? You know, okay. We've got to do multiple things. So ear tags work fantastic. You know, apply those to the animals at the rate that product says, but also using an insect growth regulator as a mineral feed-through based product is great, because what that allows us to do is the cattle will eat that product, and then it comes out the back end in the manure, and that pesticide is present in the manure, and it disrupts that development cycle of those larval horn flies and other pest flies that are developing in that manure. So those are, really kind of the two things that we can do for horn flies. The ear tags are going to work against the adults, and then those mineral IGR products are going to work against the larval or those immature stages.
Awesome. Well, Dr. Kamak, did I say that right that time?
Yeah, there you go. You got it.
I'm a quick learner sometimes. but I really appreciate you coming on today, and so does the listeners. And I hope to have you on here maybe once every 6 months or something, and you keep us up to date on what's going on with flies and ticks and worms and all that good stuff. And we'll see how that goes.
Sure, the rain is a great thing right now, but it's also, one of the things that's given us all sorts of other problems. So it's give and take,
Yeah, you got to take the bad with the good. So there's, the good, bad, and ugly. And there we go. But yeah, it's a good thing. We're way above our normal out here, which is great. We've been struggling so much the last 10 or 12 years. We've had a couple of good summers, but man, this year here is just awesome, and we got rain in the forecast, and crops are looking great, grass looks good, cattle are fat, but they got lots of flies on them.
Yeah.
So, but appreciate it, and thank you again for coming on today.
Yes, sir.
All right, have a good day.
Thanks, you too.
Yep. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're taking a Taylor Ranch break. We'll come back, we'll finish the show up.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You've seen the yellow tags, you've heard the commercials, you've heard the hustle and bustle. What are you waiting for, guys? Windy Nissan is your dealer. We have all the new Nissans, all the used cars, trucks, and SUVs that you can dream of. With over 150 on the ground, we truly have a little bit of something for everybody. Payments as low as $249 with $0 down. Up to 90 days, no payments. There's never been a better time than now to come see us at Windy Nissan of Elk City, your hometown dealer.
Garage doors are the largest moving object in your home. It's time to make sure your garage door is operating safely and properly. Cody Giblet, owner of Southwest Overhead Garage Door in Elk City, is reminding you that June is Garage Door Safety Month. Call Southwest Overhead Garage Door today at 580-225-3667 to schedule to have your garage door checked out to make sure it's operating properly. Remember, working on garage doors is very dangerous, so let the professionals handle it. Southwest Overhead Door, 1000 South Merritt Road in Elk City.
The last thing you want after completing a well is to leave money on the table. However, many drilling companies do just that within the first 30 days of production. It's critical to hire well-trained operators with good quality equipment to give you the right kind of data you need to maximize production from day one. Prime Well Solutions specializes in flowback, sand separation, and well testing specific to the unique needs of your well. In Oklahoma, West Texas, and New Mexico, Prime Well Solutions has you covered. Find them online at primewellsolutions.com.
By texting 64,000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Babbel. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at babbel.com/TNC.
With other language learning apps, I was just playing games. I wasn't really learning. Babbel's different.
Babbel was designed by over 200 language learning experts to be the most effective way to learn another language.
Before Babbel, I thought I just wasn't good with languages. But now I'm speaking French. Tout ça, c'est grâce à Babbel.
Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you text radio to 64,000. That's radio to 64,000.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. High Pro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. High Pro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Need precision parts done right and fast? At K4T in Elk City, we specialize in CNC machining, welding, and fabrication for the oil field as well as ag industries. We're a full-service job shop built on grit, speed, and craftsmanship. Whether it's a one-off prototype or full production, we get it done right every time. Family-owned and third-generation strong, Jason and Jamie Koss treat your job like it's their own. Stop by K4T on Merritt Road in Elk City or find us on Facebook. K4T, built on family, driven by craftsmanship.
Now back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update for southwestern Oklahoma. Mangum, 91 degrees, feels like 97. Heat risk is moderate, 69 dew point, humidity is 49. The winds are out of the southeast at 14 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 21. 10-day rain total, 0.01 inches. They had a fog or a dew one morning. Sounds like 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 86 degrees. Sunset at 8:55 and sunny, 93 today. Clear, 71 tonight. Again tomorrow, 95 and sunny. Dr. Kamak said, one thing I should mention, I have a tick survey project that's being distributed through OCA newsletters and extension emails. Would love for any cattle producers who have received these emails to take that survey and help me develop better tick extension materials for the state. We will. I'll mention that every now and then. I haven't got one yet. So if you're OCA, I think I did see that in an OCA newsletter. So let's help them out, guys. They need all the help they can get. All right. It is the Taylor Ranch Happy Hour. Speaking of the Taylor Ranch, great outcomes take planning and patience. Taylor Ranch beef is an excellent example of this. If you're ordering for August or September, Taylor Ranch has been working on these steaks for the past 2.5 years. They start with hand selecting the best combination carcass and muscle AI bulls in the Angus breed. Utilize top nutrition and health protocols and give the animals the best possible care. The end results in a mouthwatering ribeye that gives you a great eating experience. That's Taylor Ranch. They develop every animal as if it were going to be served at their own table. Quarter, halves, or whole beef available. Third-party verified, all natural and hormone-free also available. Call Mr. Jimmy at 405-609-4662, 405-609-4662. Hey, speaking of that, I sell beef from the farm too, and I want to try to clarify when you're ordering beef. I don't even know if I got time. No, I don't have time. I'll take it up tomorrow. I want to clarify some stuff when you're buying beef, quarters, halves, or wholes, or whatever you buy. There's a different, you're limited on your quarters to what you can get. So I will clarify that tomorrow because my music's already playing. I hope you guys enjoyed my visit with Dr. Jonathan Kamek from OSU. He's the pathologist there on the extension side. See you tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah America. God bless.